This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right. It's the JR Sport Brief show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. Happy Thursday. Happy first day of the 2020 NFL season. Talk to you about that in a minute, no doubt about it, as I come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. A big shout out and thank you to everybody tuning in on your local CBS Sports Radio affiliate, on the free radio.com app, SiriusXM channel 206, CBSSportsRadio.com. I don't care where you're listening, how you're listening. I'm glad that you're here. We spent the first hour talking about the NFL, looking at this first game of the season. Kansas City Chiefs right now with about 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Kansas City leads 31-13. No big surprises there. I mean, Kansas City, I mean, they're Super Bowl champs. Patrick Mahomes already has three touchdowns. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I mean, he's a rookie. He's rushed for 116 yards and has a touchdown. And you think about some of the guys who've gotten paid by the Kansas City Chiefs, they've produced. Sammy Watkins, touchdown. Travis Kelce, touchdown. Hill, touchdown. And let's see if Houston can come back with 7 minutes left, even though Kansas City has the ball right now. Not going to be an easy road ahead. It's pretty interesting watching this game take place with no fans or smattering of fans throughout the entire stadium. I'll put it that way. The production is pretty damn good. You know, we have crowd noise. You see some of the fans. We don't have those big wide shots. We don't have the fans dressed up. We don't have people losing their minds. But I don't mind. We just got football. And that's perfectly fine with me. I will gladly take the games that we have right now. Andy Reid is on the sidelines. He actually has a full facial visor that is attached to his ball cap. It takes up his entire face. And you can see where he's breathing. It's the mist. And it's kind of damp out in Kansas City right now. So it's a couple of droplets. He looks like he's getting ready to go scuba diving. But in the name of safety, you know, whatever you got to do, go ahead and do it. We also saw a show of solidarity in a moment of silence between the Houston Texans and the Kansas City Chiefs as they locked arms for a moment of silence prior to the game. And unfortunately, we did have some fans who decided to boo that moment of solidarity, even though it was not related to the national anthem. But hell, welcome to 2020. So we will continue this conversation on the Kansas City Chiefs and the Houston Texans as this game is in the fourth quarter. We have plenty to discuss there. You can find me online. It's real simple. I'm on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at JR Sport Brief. And the start of the NFL season isn't the only thing going on. Tonight, the Los Angeles Lakers got a little bit closer to the Western Conference Finals as they have gone up 3-1 against the Houston Rockets. Lakers beating the Rockets 110-100. The Lakers were in control the majority of this game. I mean, even in the fourth quarter, They were up 23 midway through the fourth, and then they let the Houston Rockets get closer. It got to 103-96. Alex Caruso hit a big three. The Lakers pretty much got them the hell up on out of here. LeBron James. Of course, LeBron James. LeBron James went out and did the damn thing. What else is new? He didn't have the best shooting night, but he finished an assist away from a triple-double, 16 points, 15 rebounds, and 9 assists. And someone who I just always encourage to be aggressive is Anthony Davis. 29 points, 12 rebounds, 5 assists, and 2 blocks. If the Lakers had any issue tonight, it boiled down to turnovers. And that's pretty much what allowed Houston to get back into the game. And I'll tell you this, and people were killing me about this several nights ago when I said, where the hell is LeBron James' teammates? You can't have Pope and Danny Green. These guys can't be out here, you know, scoring 2 and 6 points. They need more consistency if they actually want to win the title. You know, people were hitting me saying, well, JR is making excuses for LeBron James. And what do you mean, where are LeBron's teammates? Do you see the box score? Well, damn it, have you seen the Lakers in the bubble? Have you seen what Kuzma has done? Have you seen what Danny Green has done? Pope? Somebody called yesterday and 2 days ago, and they said, well, Pope is there for his defense. Oh, well, I'm sure. They don't want him to score then, huh? Him and Danny Green, just play defense. Don't shoot threes. Let's be real. But tonight they got some help. Rajon Rondo came through again, almost had a triple-double. 11 points for Rondo. 10 rebounds for Rondo. 8 assists. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, he had 10 points. Danny Green, 10 points. Markieff Morris, 9. Caruso, 16. They got some help. And this is what I say, where LeBron James can't do this all himself. He had a bad shooting night, 7 of 17 from the field, 0 of 5 from 3. He didn't have the best of nights. He almost had a triple-double. He didn't have a great shooting night, but he got some help. Danny Green, 2 of 5 from 3. Pope, 2 of 3. He got some help. And listen to what Frank Vogel, listen to what he had to say about LeBron's teammates, not named Anthony Davis, stepping up to contribute.
Yeah, well, we got two big guns in Anthony and LeBron, and you know, I don't think the rest of the guys on this team get enough credit. You know, we have a very, very deep team. You know, guys not in the rotation that we play in big minutes on other teams, and you know, it's a team first team. You know, that's what I love about our group here. Like you said, Rondo, Alex, I was proud of Talen Horton Tucker. For coming in and getting his first playoff minutes and playing really well. You know, he's got a bright future with us, and, you know, he gave us a big lift in that first half. But it's a good team win.
Yeah, good team win. It's pretty nice to see some other guys not named LeBron or Anthony Davis step up and be consistent. And we can pretty much expect this from Rondo if he's going to be out on the court. If he's going to be healthy, that's certainly a case. It seems that Rajon Rondo always gets a finger broken or snagged or whatever the case may be. And even tonight, Kyle Kuzma, he only finished with 4 points. And I would venture to say he's the third most talented player behind LeBron and Anthony Davis. But you never know what you're going to get from Kyle Kuzma. But having said that, the Lakers did what they should always do. And that's dominate in the paint, especially against a team like the Houston Rockets. Houston was outscored 62-24 points in the paint. That's what it should be when you're playing a smaller squad. We know Daniel House for the Rockets, he was not available because the NBA is still trying to figure out whether or not they want to punish him for having a COVID tester in his room. That's certainly the story that we've seen. We don't have all the details. But we know time is running out for the Houston Rockets. Time is once again running out for Mike D'Antoni and his system. And here you have two former MVPs, two superstars that shoot the ball. James Harden, he didn't have a great shooting night. He had an awful shooting night. 21 points, 2 for 11 from the field, 1 of 6 from downtown. Russell Westbrook, he hit a big three later on in the game. But Russell had 25 points. He shot 3 of 8 from downtown. And let's be real. When the Rockets were on a run earlier this year, outside of the bubble when things were quote-unquote normal, the Rockets were humming when Russell Westbrook stopped jacking up shots, when he stopped putting up threes. And I know you got to get points from somewhere, but this ain't it. And I think it was only a matter of time, and I've been saying this, you heard me say this, the Rockets can shoot themselves into a game, and they sure as hell can shoot themselves out. And I think the small ball approach against this Lakers squad, it wasn't going to happen. Russell Westbrook had his own opinions and thoughts on what has gone wrong and what went wrong tonight. Listen.
I don't got an explanation for you, but, I mean, should have been some sense of urgency on everybody's part. But we fought, which is good, and we know what we have to do. It's going to take a lot of effort. It's going to take everyone being uncomfortable in their role and making sure that we understand we all have to sacrifice. You know, some of the things we may love to do, but we got to scramble. That's the best. That gives us the best chance to win games.
Yeah, sense of urgency. Well, of course, I would hope that everybody on the Rockets had a sense of urgency heading into this game. But we pretty much know this series is over. The Lakers are leading right now 3-1. What the hell is going to change? What, James Harden is going to have a better shooting percentage next game? What is he going to do, score 30 points in a loss? This is going to catch up to the Houston Rockets. It doesn't matter if they're able to go 3-2. Are we expecting them to now just win 3 straight games against the Lakers? Good luck. That's a tough task. Let's see you come back from a 3-1. It's over. Mike D'Antoni pretty much said it himself. Well, no, he didn't, but he can't publicly say it. But he did say, we know we're in a big hole now, but the next game is the game we got to win. We'll go out, and if we lay it on the line like the way we laid it on the line in the fourth quarter, we will be fine. Well, let's see it happen. You know, one of the startling images that I saw tonight that doesn't make me feel confident about anything that's going to happen for the Houston Rockets, there was a big play where Anthony Davis was being guarded by Eric Gordon. He can see clear over the man. What's going to happen over the next 3 games that's going to keep the Houston Rockets alive? Quite frankly, when the Rockets are eliminated from the playoffs, Mike D'Antoni, similar to Billy Donovan, his contract is going to be over. Rockets aren't bringing this man back. And whoever comes in is going to have to try and figure out, how do you make James Harden and Russell Westbrook work? I don't think there's an answer for that. You traded away Clint Capella. He is now an Atlanta Hawk. You don't have a big, and you're pretty much stuck with 2 guys who just shoot the ball, who dominate the ball. It's 2-on-5. That's the reality. It hasn't worked, and it's not going to work. So if I'm a fan of the Rockets, I'm like, hey, we might be in this situation for a minute until we can get rid of a Harden or a Westbrook. And good luck there. You think about having 2 MVPs. Well, they have too close of a skill set, even though they're not even remotely close to being the same player. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4CBS. Our number is sponsored by Geico. And right now, Geico's offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. That's on top of what Geico could already save you. What are you waiting for? Go to geico.com to learn more. Super Rasidé is calling up from Detroit. You're on CBS Sports Radio. What's on your mind?
Hey, what's going on? How you doing this evening, JR?
And I'm good. Go ahead.
And hello to the rest of the United States of America. So here we go, bro. As planned, the great Magic Johnson's blueprint is going smoothly. Yes, Magic Johnson deserves props first and foremost, for this. So far, so good. Once they get past the Clippers, hopefully they will, they got to say Magic Johnson, most definitely. But now let's get to the logic of what happened. I most definitely know that Jason Kidd is a big part of this, along with LeBron James and Frank Vogel as well. They got them figured out. They have some very intelligent men over there that know how to figure it out. Now, that first game, the Rockets played the small ball, and, you know, they did the little speedy thing, and then the Lakers had to adjust with that. But I figure it was only a matter of time, just like with Portland. Once they figure out the formula of how to implement their bigs to combat that little speediness that the Rockets have, it was gonna be downhill for the Rockets. And I know Jason Kidd better get props for this, along with LeBron James, because he's on the court coach. You know, that's one of the key things that LeBron is great at, just like Magic Johnson. On the court, coaches are incredible. So most definitely go Lakers. And I did tell you too, brother, that Boston and Miami, yeah, I'm going to go out on a limb and say Boston and Miami will be in the finals. And I told you that. I said that to you. Do you recall that?
No, I don't, Reside. I talk to a whole hell of a lot of people every single day, all day about sports. And it certainly looks like that's what we're going to have. And when it comes down to the West, I agree with you. And thank you, Reside, for calling up from Detroit. Look, you can't take anything away when you got Hall of Fame minds on a squad. LeBron James, obviously one of the greatest basketball players of all time. Jason Kidd is in that same category. Jason Kidd was basically a walking team all unto himself. When you think about what he's been able to do in his career, or was able to do, especially with the New Jersey Nets. And, yeah, you got to go ahead and give them credit. But I don't want to say it was a difficult thing to do. Just the Rockets style of play will work on a playground. It will work in the regular season. You know, they went on a stretch when they got some of those big men out of the way and allowed James Harden and Russell Westbrook to operate and get into the paint. But sometimes all you got to do is go by the eye test. If I'm in a gym and I see a team walk in and I say, oh, well, these guys are pretty damn big. You know, if you got some skilled small guys, you know, you can put up a fight. But ultimately, if the big guys are just as skilled, I'm going with size. It's not a difficult thing to go ahead and look at. And Mike D'Antoni and the Houston Rockets, it's like time is ticking. Time is ticking for that squad to get blown up, and not in a good way. D'Antoni is going to be gone. And I have no idea what happens to the Houston Rockets, except to think that, guess what? The window has closed. Who the hell can play with James Harden? Can James Harden lead you to a title? I think the answer is no. Can Russell Westbrook lead you to a title? I think the answer is no. Can these two guys combined lead you to a title? I think the answer is no. And I have no idea what can fix the Houston Rockets going forward into the future. Okay, I don't even think Daryl Morey has that answer. I want to open up the phone lines to you. They're not eliminated yet, but we know time is almost up for the Houston Rockets. What are your thoughts on the Rockets? Can James Harden and Russell Westbrook ever lead this squad to a title? Can they compete? I think best case scenario for both of these guys is that maybe they can be a second or third wheel. You know, James Harden had his chance and his opportunity. They both did in OKC. But James Harden, as a youngster, had an awful series in the finals back in Oklahoma City. I think that's where he might get retribution. But unfortunately, he's probably going to be a little older. Call me up right now, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. Can Russell Westbrook and James Harden ever lead the Rockets to a title? What's their problem? What needs to happen? You're listening to the JR Sport Brief Show right here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. We know the Kansas City Chiefs, they just beat Houston 34-20 to open up the NFL season. We're going to talk about that. But before we went to break, we spent some time talking about the Lakers going up 3-1 over the Houston Rockets. They win tonight 110-100. James Harden, he doesn't have the best shooting night, not at all, scores 21 points, but he's 2 of 11 from the field. Russell Westbrook, he gives you 25. He was 3 of 8 from downtown. Meanwhile, the Lakers, they dominated in the paint. Ultimately, their only issue was turnovers. They got contributions from players not named LeBron James and Anthony Davis. Rajon Rondo was pretty close to having another triple-double. LeBron James was an assist away from a triple-double, even though he didn't shoot all that well. And time is up for the Houston Rockets. One more loss and they're out of here. It's real simple. And I have no idea. I don't know if Daryl Morey has an idea what to do with the Houston Rockets. The phone lines are open to you right now. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. Do you believe that the Rockets will ever win anything with a combination of James Harden and Russell Westbrook? I think the answer is no. I have no idea what you can do with these two guys. You think about their contracts and the type of money that they're going to have. What adjustments can you make? They just got rid of some of their bigs. Last year, it was a Chris Paul experiment. Like, who the hell can you pair with James Harden and have success? Jake is calling up from New York. Jake, you're on CBS Sports Radio. What are your thoughts on the Rockets?
Yeah, how you doing, JR? How you doing?
I'm here, Jake. What's on your mind?
This is what I got to say. I totally agree with you on what you have to say about the Rockets, and I myself don't want to be too harsh on the Rockets fans, but what I have to say is back in time with the Golden State Warriors, when it used to be Stephen Curry and Monte Ellis, what happened? Monte got off the team. They had him shipped off. Now, I'm saying that both of them, both good, amazing guards. Now, the same thing over here. You got James Harden, you got Russell Westbrook. They're doing their job amazing. Now, I'm just trying to say that you can't keep that same pace up for both of them bringing you to a championship. Like you said perfectly, you said that you cannot bring James Harden or Russell Westbrook giving you a championship, and I believe that the smartest move, and I think the most, you know, the best move just for them is just to they got to get one of them off the team to build up a team in exactly the way Golden State did it.
All right, well Jake, I don't know what that solution is, and I wouldn't even necessarily compare it to Monte Ellis and Steph Curry, because you can look at Monte Ellis and everything that he did in a losing effort in Golden State, and you bring in what you can presumably say is the future, somebody who won several championships, somebody who was an MVP, and you had to move Monte the hell up on out the way. I don't necessarily see a pairing of Russell Westbrook and James Harden as being the same. But I just have no idea how you have two ball-dominant guards, I'd call them shooting guards, with two different skill sets. One, well, they both go to the rack. One is not necessarily the greatest shooter. The other one is one of the best scorers in NBA history, but just needs the ball as a high-volume shooter. I don't see them fitting together. So you say one of them needs to go. That's some tough doing, even with their contracts.
No, I totally agree. I said that it's going to be harsh, you know, on the Rockets fans, but I'm trying to tell you that it's the same thing that you brought up before where you said that they both cannot bring up you a championship. So what's the solution?
Hey, one of them has to go. But ultimately, if you think about this, and thank you for calling up from New York, if I'm a fan of the Houston Rockets, I don't know. Maybe I'm smacking myself right now. Because you had more of, I don't want to say a traditional roster, but you have a team, you have a squad, you have Clint Capella, you're running a pick and roll, and then ultimately you say, oh, well, you know what? We can't do that. I want to open up more space. If Mike D'Antoni said, I want to go for what I've always wanted to do, and that's really go small ball. Would we have had more success? Would the Rockets have had more success if we didn't have to step into a bubble? I don't know. Russell Westbrook was playing some of the most efficient basketball that I've ever seen him play. At the same time, we also know that he's missed time due to injury. But now he's back and he's playing. And I have no idea what they can do, especially when you think about the salaries. James Harden going to be getting $40-plus million a year. He has a player option worth $47 million for the 2022-2023 season. You think James Harden is, you think he's going to opt out of $47 million? You think somebody's just going to line up to say, hey, here, take another 50? Especially in the economic climate that we're in? If you want to go ahead and look at Russell Westbrook, his deal also takes him through 2022 to 2023. Now, who the hell else are you going to bring in? What type of big are you? What are you going to say? We're going to play pick and roll with another big? Are there enough basketballs to go around with these two on the team? It's not an easy thing to do. Not by a long shot. If the Rockets want to win, one of them is going to have to go. What type of off-ball player can they bring in, even if you want to consider it, that's going to be able to contribute positively to the Houston Rockets? I don't think there is a player. One of them will have to go. James Harden, I feel, is going to evolve into a quote-unquote microwave player as he gets older. And Russell Westbrook, I think his best shot and his best opportunity was when he was playing with Kevin Durant. I mean, that's one of the greatest basketball players ever. And that opportunity, I think, has been missed. I think that opportunity is gone. 855-212-4CBS. I want to take more of your calls when we come back. Do you think there's any type of positive future ahead for the Houston Rockets with James Harden and Russell Westbrook? What needs to happen? And I do want to talk to you about another point guard. His name is Chris Paul. We're hearing word that he may switch some teams. He may go from OKC to another squad. Where would be best for him? The phone lines are still open. 855-212-4CBS. It's the JR Sport Brief show on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right. It's the JR Sport Brief show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. Before we went to break, we were talking about the Lakers and the Rockets. The Lakers are up 3-1. The writing is on the wall for the Houston Rockets. Mike D'Antoni is likely, you know, this is the end of his contract. It has not been renewed. When this series is over, he's done. They ain't bringing him back. I highly doubt it. And you're stuck with James Harden in his future $47 million contract in 2 years. And the same thing with Russell Westbrook. You're going to be paying him close to $40 million. You already got rid of your pick and roll center, your defender, and Clint Capella. It's tough to say that there's any turning back. The roster needs huge adjustments, but I don't know what they can do. I don't know if they can bring in a player. Ultimately, I think you're going to try to have to get rid of one of them. It'll probably be Russell Westbrook. I have no idea what you can do with this team. I just know that they cannot win the way they are currently constructed. Small ball is fun. And granted, yes, through certain instances and times, they've been a solid defensive team for their size, but they were abused tonight inside. Abused. 855-212-4CBS. What the hell do the Rockets need to do moving into the future? Can they win with this combination? I think the answer is a resounding no. No chance in hell. And if you want to talk about bringing in another star, trading for somebody, how? We don't know what the financial situation, or the league doesn't understand its financial ramifications. They don't even understand what the finances are going to look like for next season to even go ahead and set a salary cap. Ethan is calling up from Toronto. Ethan, you're on CBS Sports Radio. What's on your mind?
Hey, man. What's up?
I'm good. What you thinking about the Houston Rockets?
Well, I completely agree with you. I think James Harden, Russell Westbrook together, they can't win. They're two ball-dominant guards that play completely different styles. But my opinion is that the Rockets need to do what the Bucks did with Giannis. Giannis is like a modern-day Shaq. But Harden, he's a different type of offensive player. He needs the ball. My opinion is that they should trade Westbrook to get assets that can build up a team around Harden that can play with him, that can surround him with shooters and players that complement him, that make him even better than he is today.
Okay. Well, thank you, Ethan. I think we've seen that version. There was a point in time where you had a Ryan Anderson. Okay. He had his ups and downs. We've seen shooters around Harden. We've seen him go to work and play with just guards around him. Didn't work. We've seen him have another traditional point guard who does need to operate with the ball and initiate the offense, and a Chris Paul. Guess what? It didn't work. Now we see Russell Westbrook and James Harden. They're playing together, two ball-dominant guards, two different styles of play. One may drive to the basket and try to utilize his athleticism. The other one may try to attract fouls. One is a slasher. Both are slashers. Or one is more of a shooter. I have no idea how it'll work. Sorju is calling up from Massachusetts. Sorju, what are your thoughts on the Houston Rockets? Can this work? What needs to happen in the future?
JR, my man, what's going on?
I'm here with you, Sorju. Go ahead.
All right. So a couple of quick points here. So they got to first get rid of Daryl Morey. They got to get rid of Mike D'Antoni. He's just, I hate to say it, but he's a really good coach, but he's just never been able to get over the hump, whatever team he's been on, whether it's been New York, Houston, whatever. The other thing I wanted to make is actually make a parallel to that 2012 OKC Thunder team that made to the finals, as well as the Thunder team that, you know, was up 3-1 or 3-2 against the Warriors. So if you look at that 2012 Thunder team, what worked so well between Harden, Westbrook, and Durant was that, you know, Harden, Durant, and were obviously very aggressive, but Harden was able to play off ball. Now the problem is these guys are way too ball dominant, and it's just almost like what was happening last year with PG and Westbrook, where, you know, one guy's doing his thing and the other guy stands in the corner. And then if the other guy wants to get going on offense, the other guy stands in the corner. I mean, I know the and the last quick point here is
Sorju. Here's a question for you. What do they need to do to get back or at least sniff title contention? Simple question.
So I think they need to have more big man presence. I mean, the small ball clearly didn't work. As far as this series, you have Tyson Chandler sitting on the bench, surprise the Lakers and bring him in and start him. Because the problem is, you can only live and die by the three, right? We know what the team is when the shots are falling, right? But if the shots aren't falling, they have no plan B, and they only have
plan A. Well, Sorju, I agree with you, and thank you for calling up from Massachusetts. Yeah, they can shoot themselves into a game, and they can shoot themselves out. Tyson Chandler is almost like, let's break the glass in case of an emergency if we don't have any warm bodies. Tyson Chandler is so traditional of a center that what are you going to do? Who's he going to defend on a switch? Nobody. He's going to be a man out there on an island. He will unfortunately get abused. Tyson Chandler at this point in his career, say, use your height and maybe try to deflect the pass, get us a big rebound. Tyson Chandler is not going to surprise anybody in helping. Simple. Tony's calling up from Toronto. Tony, you're on CBS Sports Radio. Do you believe the Rockets can win as currently constructed?
Not as currently constructed. Here's what I think the problem is, JR. These two players, Westbrook and Harden, they're good players, but they're not superstars. They're not elite. I think they're way overrated when people talk about it, simply because they get either flashy plays or make these threes, and that's popular nowadays. People want to see that. But to say that they're amongst the elite in the league, no, they're not. These guys will, you know, captivate, be popular, but they're not going to win. They need a presence, let's say, obviously, like any team, a LeBron, a Michael Jordan, a Kobe, someone that'll take these guys and tell them what they need to do, and they better do it.
Okay.
And they'll go along with the, you know, very skillful player like
Tony. Let me ask you a question. Who are the elite players in the NBA?
Who are the elite? Well, obviously LeBron, Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, Kyle Lowry, as we're going to speak tomorrow.
Wait, Tony. You're telling me that Kyle Lowry is an elite player in the NBA, but a James Harden is not?
No, absolutely.
I want to understand this again. Kyle Lowry is an elite player in the NBA, but James Harden is not.
Correct.
Okay. Well, Tony,
do you want to know why?
Yeah, not really, because there's not going to be.
Tony.
You asked the question, and then I have to give you the answer. No, you don't. It's really that simple, because there is no way that you can go out and justify Kyle Lowry. If you want to tell me that James Harden is not an elite player, if you don't view him in the same ilk of a LeBron James, that's understandable. LeBron James is one of the greatest basketball players of all time. If you want to say that James Harden isn't in that rarefied air of being one of the all-time best or one of the best right now, I can understand that. But if you want to put Kyle Lowry into the same space of a LeBron James, but omit a generational talent, a generational scorer like a James Harden, that doesn't make too much damn sense. That's just the reality. That doesn't make any sense. I mean, while we're at it, let's go ahead and pick Pascal Siakam. Let's call Pascal Siakam elite, since we want to call Kyle Lowry elite. If anything, I would venture to say that Kyle Lowry might be underrated for what he does. But Kyle Lowry is not in no space of LeBron James. He's not. The Raptors have done an amazing job this year without their former star in a Kawhi Leonard. We've seen that. And Kyle Lowry is the leader of that team. There's no doubt about it. But I think it's ridiculous to say, you know, Russell Westbrook and James Harden, you know, they're not elite players. Okay, you can make that argument. I can't fight you big time on that. But to say Kyle Lowry is, you know, he's a better player than James Harden, he's a better player than Russell Westbrook, they might be flawed players. They might. But guess what's going to happen? You want to say, oh, it's just flash? These guys are going into the Hall of Fame. They're going into the Hall of Fame. These guys are MVPs. They are some of the best players in NBA history. We've had plenty of players that have come through the NBA that have not won a title, that have been amazing players. There's a whole list. It'd be kind of odd for me to start naming some of them. Charles Barkley doesn't have a ring. Allen Iverson, for all of his great scoring, there were flaws in his game. Okay, Allen Iverson, one of the greatest of all time. Reggie Miller, no ring, one of the best of all time. Patrick Ewing, no ring, one of the best of all time. There's a list of amazing players who don't have rings. Guys who have been MVPs. And just to hear, you know, Kyle Lowry go into that, oh, he's an elite player, I don't know. You know, I love Toronto. It's one of my favorite cities in the entire world. But I don't know what is in your water specifically. I don't know what you're drinking. We could talk about James Harden all day. We can talk about Russell Westbrook all day. We can talk about the deficiencies in their games. But it is blasphemous. It is ridiculous. It is hilarious to say that Kyle Lowry, who is an all-star, who is a solid player, who is, to a certain degree, might be underrated, is in the same air as LeBron James, as one of the best in the league. Come on now. Let's stop. Speaking of someone who is also going into the Hall of Fame, speaking of someone who is one of the best point guards of all time, his name is Chris Paul. And there are plenty of discussions right now in the NBA as to his future. A couple of nights ago, I told you that the Milwaukee Bucks, they might be looking at a trade for Chris Paul. Because Chris Paul, he did his job in OKC. That squad overachieved. They went further and did more than anybody would have expected. If you thought that the Thunder were going to go to the playoffs, you know, you're a genius. You bet against the odds because the odds were not in their favor that they were going to do so. And now they know Chris Paul is not going to be a part of their future as they contend. And Chris Paul, in his own right, he's going to get paid, you know, $40-plus million for the next several seasons. He's not giving up that money. Does he go to a Milwaukee? Do they work out a trade? Can he go to a Philadelphia? That's the new team that's pretty much popped up on a radar. Allowing Ben Gordon to kind of stick at the forward position, let Chris Paul run the show. Joel Embiid, that might be a better situation than what they have right now. So we have teams that have a lot to answer in this offseason. But we know when this NBA season ends in about a month's time and we do crown an NBA champ, the offseason is going to get fast forwarded. We don't know the salary cap situation. We're still looking forward to when the draft is going to take place. We don't know when free agency is going to start. It's more than likely going to be November. We don't even know when the regular season gets going. So there are a lot of question marks for every NBA team. There are a lot of question marks when it boils down to finances. We have a lot to figure out, a lot to discuss. The NBA has question marks. But the NFL, their season is underway. And we're going to talk about these Chiefs when we come back, right off of a victory, opening night. It's the JR Sport Brief Show right here with you on CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.